Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 87, recorded Sunday, February 6, 2010. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: sick on the road and what's in my bag. Hey, well, this week, coming to you from the Travel Commons studio outside of Chicago, Illinois, I managed to skip this weekend's snowpocalypse, the 20-plus inches of snow that fell here Tuesday and Wednesday. Instead, I flew down to Phoenix on Tuesday morning, though not without a couple of glitches, courtesy of American Airlines, and then came back Friday evening. And yes, I did feel a bit guilty skipping out on the shoveling in the wind and cold, but that's what kids are for. You know, it has been a cold winter so far. I was in Dallas a couple of weeks ago where it was rainy and in the low 30s and the wind was blowing a steady 20 miles an hour. Okay, no snow, but not any better than Chicago. And then even this week in Phoenix, I mean, the temperatures were in the 30s, getting into the 20s at night. Yes, it was colder than, it was colder in Chicago and elsewhere, but still, you know, I mean, where's this global warming stuff when you really need it? Now, earlier in January, Phoenix was much nicer, sort of sunny and in the 60s. The first couple of days I was there, I was running on autopilot a bit. You know, for lunch, I'd dash out of the office, hop in my rental car, and drive the quarter mile north to the shopping area with sort of sandwich shops and a Whole Foods. You know, driving back the second day, I thought, you know, what in the hell am I doing? I mean, it's 20 degrees back home. And, you know, the next day I took an hour for lunch, walked to the Whole Foods, bought myself a cup of soup, sat outside in the sun, ate it, and then walked back to the office, which sort of reminds me of kind of the New Year's travel resolutions that that I posted on the Travel Commons site at the beginning of this year. I mean, number three was take more quick breaks, along the lines of take advantage of the travel because it sure takes advantage of you. You know, and in that spirit, and it, well, I guess in the post I mentioned the afternoons I took to hike up Squaw Peak in Phoenix or walk along the beach in Naples, Florida. You know, I'll tell you, walking along a road to lunch seems a bit of pathetic reach, but the spirit's there. I mean, if you're traveling from snow to sun for work, I mean, you know, grab a couple of rays for yourself. And actually, I did a bit better than that. I went to the BCS college football game, the Auburn-Oregon game while I was in Phoenix. And then when I was in Dallas, I went to the Mavericks-Lakers basketball game. I mean, you know, I don't know, it was something for each week. As for my other resolutions, plan further ahead because airline load factors and seat utilization is moving up again. I'm doing okay with that. I mean, I'm booking about 2 to 3 weeks in advance, which I'll tell you is a huge improvement for me. Repack my briefcase. Well, check out the What's in My Bag segment a bit later. Take more pictures? I don't know, just a marginal improvement there. And I don't know, I don't count taking pictures with my iPhone of bullet points on whiteboards. I don't think that was what I really meant there with that resolution. And the toughest one, you know, being nicer to TSA agents? Well, I was doing better because at least over the last few trips, they've been nicer to me. I hadn't been groped or irradiated on my first couple of trips, which, you know, I'll tell you, will tend to have a positive impact on anybody's disposition. So following up, the TSA full body scan controversy that was white hot during the Thanksgiving weekend, it seems to have cooled quite a bit. I mean, the TSA will say that this is proof that the American public supports its program of full body scans, or AIT, Advanced Imaging Technology. Nothing like a three-letter acronym to sort of, you know, kind of smooth the rough edges on any topic. The enhanced pat-down, as the TSA likes to call it, or the full-body grope, as the rest of us experience it, I think, I really think instead that the TSA has pulled back on their use of some of these invasive techniques. I mean, I hadn't been hit with a full body scanner or grope down from the beginning of December until a couple of weeks ago. And when the TSA dropped the scanners into O'Hare in July, they had everyone go through them, which easily doubled the screening times, I mean, at least. Then through Christmas, that travel season, it's the holiday travel season, it seemed that the machines were off more than they were on. And even when they were on, they weren't on every security lane. So it was pretty easy to avoid them unless you were going through a small security checkpoint, which is how they caught me in Dallas-Fort Worth. They seem to have slowed the rollout. I haven't seen them crop up in any new places. I mean, Terminal 2 in Phoenix, for example, is still a TSA porn-free zone. Not that I'm complaining. I mean, it's nice to be able to just move through security without having to hold my hands above my head. I don't know. Remember when I used to just complain about taking my shoes off? Now, however... My last two trips out of O'Hare, I was fully irradiated. Again, it was going through a small checkpoint, the status-only checkpoint in Terminal 3 where American lives. And though the TSA will say that the full body scan doesn't take any longer than the metal detector, they're just flat wrong. I mean, the actual scan, the amount of time that you have your arms above your head, is only a few seconds longer than walking through the metal detector. But the entire screening process takes much longer. I tell you, I'm beginning to consider the locations of these full-body scanners when I book flights. In O'Hare, it seems easier to avoid them in Terminal 1 than in Terminal 3. So on my next trip, which is a flight down to Florida, I've switched over to United to go out of Terminal 1. Now, that's not completely driven by full-body scanners, but I'll tell you, it's definitely a factor. And continuing my thread about my MacBook Air, you'll remember that one of the reasons that I chose the 11-inch model was that the TSA said it could be in your briefcase and it could stay in your briefcase, kind of like an iPad. However, when your briefcase or backpack stacks your iPad on top of your MacBook Air, be prepared to pull one of them out. Talking to a very pleasant TSA X-ray machine operator in O'Hare, he told me that when they stack up, they just get too thick to properly scan. I mean, it makes sense. I've since moved my iPad to a different section in my backpack. I've put some papers and magazines between the iPad and the MacBook Air. That seems to provide a bit more separation. I haven't had a problem since. Now, a couple of folks have asked me why I carry both the iPad and a laptop. And, I haven't been able to come up with a really compelling reason. I mean, as I've said before, I like reading on an iPad and I like writing on a laptop, but does that justify the extra weight and repacking hassle of the iPad? You know, I don't know. I was a little bit wishy-washy, actually a lot wishy-washy on this point, right up until last week when I found, I really thought I'd found kind of my killer app for the iPad, Avatron's Air Display, which turns the iPad into a secondary display for the MacBook when they're on the same Wi-Fi network. Now, here's the reason. While I can work on the smaller screen of my 11-inch MacBook Air, I mean, I was running on a 10-inch HP netbook before that, having a second display certainly makes it easier to virtually spread out. I mean, at home, I've got two 20-inch monitors on my Windows desktop box, and I love it. So when I saw the Air Display app in the App Store, I eagerly dropped the $10 for it, which is the most I've ever paid for an app, and I fired it up. And I was disappointed. It didn't work in the office. Okay, so maybe our network guys have got everything locked down a bit. Not too surprised. So I get back to the Hilton, I fire it up. Again, no luck. At home, it doesn't work when associated with my Apple Airport Express, but it did just once when associated with the access point that's built into the big AT&T U-verse modem router thing that's in the basement. The only access point I can get my Air Display to regularly work on is when I use my Verizon Droid 2 as a 3G hotspot. And I don't know, that just feels like a bit of a kludge. I mean, when it does work, it's great. The few times that it's happened. I've been hanging around the Avatron support forums for about a week now, but I haven't found a solution yet. I mean, it's a great concept, really spotty execution. I mean, if they can get this to work, my iPad is no longer a heavy Kindle. I mean, it's a real productivity tool. Hey, and following up on my thoughts in the last episode about some of the hassles of the digital nomad work style when it comes to finding a quiet place for a conference call, Gary Learned sent in some thoughts.
Hey, Mark, it's Gary Learned from Seat6D.com, and I was just listening to your latest podcast talking about the challenge of finding quiet places for conference calls as a vagabond-style traveler. I can definitely feel your pain, having been there many times. My latest solution, though, is the Jawbone Icon. I picked up one of these Bluetooth headsets in my never-ending quest for a decent headset, and tested it actually in the Minneapolis airport in the worst conditions I could find. I was standing under a PA speaker, which was going off, and I called someone and asked them if they could hear the background noise or how annoying it was. They could not even tell I was in an airport. So that is now my new savior for conference calls. It still doesn't help in trying to hear the other end when you have the PA go off, but it definitely keeps you from flooding the conference call with music and announcements and that sort of thing. So you might want to check it out and keep up the good work. I will talk to you later.
Hey, Gary, thanks for that suggestion. I'm hitting Amazon right now looking for that earpiece. Hey, and finally, the GoGo in-flight wireless guys have got a new giveaway as they continue to try and push the awareness of their product. For February, GoGo is adding Facebook to their set of free sites. So after the plane gets above 10,000 feet, you fire up your laptop or smartphone, associate it with the GoGo in-flight wireless network, open your browser, and you'll get the GoGo sign-on page. And at the bottom of the page, you'll see a set of free websites. I mean, there's typically the .com site for the airline you're flying. There's typically a weather site. And now, Facebook. You know, I don't know. I mean, if you're into it, it's sort of, I guess, nice to know that you can stay socially connected at 35,000 feet. Well, hey, if you have a question, a story, a comment, a travel tip, the voice of the traveler, send them along. The email address, comments@travelcommons.com. Hey, use, you know, kind of the voice memo app on your iPhone or something like virtual recorder on your Android phone, you know, to record and send in an audio comment, kind of like Gary did and Linda Martin did a couple of episodes ago. I mean, it's great. I love to put different voices on the podcast. You know, if you're a little shy with your voice, well, you know, you can send me the email. You can send me a Twitter message, at mpeacock, or you can post your thoughts on the Facebook page using GoGo's free service if you're in flight, or, you know, you can always go old school and post your thoughts on the website at travelcommons.com. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is sick on the road. No, that's not sick of the road, though that happens at times too. As I mentioned earlier, I was in Dallas a couple of weeks ago when it was just cold and windy. No snow or ice like they got this past week before the Super Bowl. And I had scored an invite to a vendor's suite at the Mavs-Lakers basketball game. Definitely a premier game. I went with a couple of guys from the office. It was a good game. Mavs were down at halftime but came back to beat the Lakers by 10, I think. Don't quite remember because, I don't know, during the second half, I started to feel a tickle in the back of my throat. I couldn't stop coughing, couldn't just sort of seem to finish up a cough. And I don't know, the beer and the salsa were beginning to feel a little rough going down. Back in the hotel room that night, I just couldn't get warm. I mean, I went to bed, but soon just started shivering. I mean, the thermostat was just above my head, and I just kept pushing the up button until I heard the heater kick in. And after a while, I finally got warm enough to sleep comfortably. And the next morning, I looked at the temperature setting. It was 78, so I was very warm. or at least, I don't know, maybe I was very cold, and that finally, I needed a little extra heat to get warm. It didn't get much better the rest of the day. I drugged myself through a full day of meetings and got on a United Express regional jet for my flight home that night. Again, I could not get warm, but there was no up button for me to push this time, and you know, since United Express seems to have followed American in pulling blankets and pillows from its plane, I just sort of swaddled myself in my tweed jacket and my overcoat and tried not to cough on the person in the window seat. Now, as being sick on the road goes, this wasn't that bad. I mean, I've gotten food poisoning a couple of times, I've severely pulled muscles, I've flown with sinus infections that made my head feel like it was going to split in two during descent. But it did remind me how miserable it is to be sick on the road. I mean, for the most part, you're alone. Though you may have coworkers who will try to help you a bit, when they go home to their families, you're going home to an empty hotel room, and you're going to have to fend for yourself. And it's not just that you're lacking a spouse or a kid to help you out, you know, bring you a blanket or a cup of tea. Now you need to find a pharmacy, perhaps a doctor, and, you know, even then it can be a struggle. When I was last in Paris, I had tweaked my knee pretty bad and needed some ibuprofen for the pain and the swelling. The hotel concierge pointed me in the direction of a pharmacy a couple of blocks away, sort of walking, limping in. I knew I couldn't ask for Advil or Motrin. Those U.S. name brands don't exist in France. So I asked for ibuprofen, right? I mean, it's the generic name of the active ingredient. I mean, ibuprofen is ibuprofen, I thought. I said to the pharmacist, ibuprofen, s'il vous plaît. You know, trying to, you know, use a little bit of French there. The pharmacist sort of cocked an eyebrow at me and looked at me. Okay, ibuprofen, s'il vous plaît, I said again. Now, the other eyebrow arched. Now, I did fight the urge to say it again, only louder. I mean, what was I missing? You know, I don't know, maybe my throbbing knee was affecting my pronunciation. I mean, I looked around on the counter, I grabbed a pen, flipped over some advertising flyer, I-B-U-P-R-O-F-E-N, I wrote. Oh, ibuprofen, the pharmacist said, and gave me a container of tablets. Flipping French, I thought, and I limped back to my hotel. So what do you do? I mean, certainly not getting sick is the best approach. I mean, get enough sleep on the road, often tough to do in strange beds and with full schedules. I also find, you know, kind of the old advice, wash your hands for a full 20 seconds and do it often. I found that that's significantly reduced the number of colds I pick up, even when I'm flying a lot. You know, packing a well-stocked medicine cabinet helps a bit. Allergy medicine, cold tablets, throat lozenges, ibuprofen tablets. I mean, you know, for domestic travel, at least, I mean, you're not trying to cure the sickness. You're just trying to stave off the symptoms long enough so you can get home and into the hands of your regular caregivers. International travel is a bit dicier. I mean, I know some travelers who have medical jet air ambulance insurance so that they have a quick way to get back home if something catastrophic happens. And while I haven't done that yet, I am looking for a medical phrase book before my next trip over to Europe, complete with pronunciation guides for common drugs, common actives, ibuprofen, ibuprofen. Ah, jeez. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is What's in My Bag? One of the New Year's travel resolutions that I posted on the Travel Commons site on the 1st of January was to unpack and repack my briefcase. Now, Steve Frick, a longtime Travel Commons listener, wrote the next day, did that this weekend. 3 pairs of headphones, approximately 2 pounds of loose change, 50-plus business cards, and at least 15 hotel room keys. No wonder my laptop bag was so heavy. 5 years ago, in February 2006, in episode number 33, I did a bit of an audio tour through my briefcase. All right, so let's see what is in my briefcase. I've got an IBM ThinkPad X31. It is absolutely the lightest one I could find. I've got a little
I've got a little Microsoft notebook optical mouse that plugs into the USB port. I've got the iGo power system.
Now, the picture of this deconstructed travel kit is actually the first picture of the Travel Commons Flickr photo stream. 5 years later, some, and surprisingly only some, of the contents have changed, but the goal is still the same, optimizing the trade-off between weight and having everything I need. I mean, there's always that desire to have everything you could possibly need to make your briefcase into, I don't know, the Road Warrior's version of Batman's utility belt, letting you amaze your traveling companions by pulling out just the right thing to solve any travel problem. Okay, so you're always prepared, but you're always trailing up the rear, either because you've got the heaviest bag or because the TSA is always pulling your bag for secondary screening because all that stuff makes them suspicious. And so back to that balancing act. What do I need all the time, and so it would be a pain to be without, versus what can I buy or borrow for the one or two times I need it? I mean, the technology has changed quite a bit, as you would guess, in 5 years. It's kind of fun looking back at the picture in the Flickr photo stream. I traded an IBM ThinkPad for a MacBook Air, a Motorola flip phone, and U2-themed iPod Classic. Remember those, all you Vertigo fans? Replaced those two with a single instrument, a 32-gig iPhone. And I have now an Aleph Jawbone 2 Bluetooth headset that replaced the Motorola H710. I don't have the need anymore for the Microsoft Travel Mouse or the Bluetooth dongle, given that those are all kind of sort of built in with the MacBook Air. And also my vendor-supplied thumb drive's been upgraded, going from a 512 megabyte, which was the biggest one I had. Now I'm packing 4 gig. There you go. I did replace the Swiss Army briefcase, what I had called in episode 33, the poor man's toomey, with a backpack. And of course, the TSA's liquid ban stopped me from carrying on little bottles of hand lotion. I now grab them from every hotel and leave them scattered about conference rooms and rental cars and restaurants and wherever I happen to be settled for a bit. So what stayed the same? The Moleskine notebook, a selection of pens, the pink semi-transparent folder of expense receipts, a bottle of ibuprofen. Yes, it would be ibuprofen tablets and Zyrtec tablets, allergy stuff. The iRiver MP3 player and recorder that I use to record this podcast and all the past podcasts. And I think most importantly, I still have that, it's not the same tin, it's a new tin of wintergreen Altoid mints to counter kind of that dry mouth that I get when I fall asleep in flight, which is a pretty common occurrence. What's new? Well, the iPad, we talked about that a little bit before, an extra battery for my iPhone. I started carrying that when I had the 3GS, which had lousy battery life. The iPhone 4 has a lot better battery life, but I still carry that extra battery for when I need to top up. I've got an AT&T USB cellular modem stick, which lets me skip having to pay for slow hotel Wi-Fi. I got a set of Motorola Bluetooth stereo headphones that I use when I work out, kind of pair them to the iPhone. Got a couple of Tazo green tea bags because in-flight coffee is just horrid. I got an inhaler to make it easier to breathe when I catch a cold. Good advice from kind of a doc in the box in San Mateo that I went to after being laid completely low in the San Francisco and the SFO Marriott by bronchitis. So I always continue to keep that, trying to, again, avoid being sick on the road. And then I've got my Verizon Droid 2 for the way too many times that AT&T's coverage sucks. Now, the iPad lets me ditch kind of the printed reports that I used to carry. I really hate reading documents on a computer screen, but I like them on the iPad. Don't mind them on the iPad. And in the iBooks and Kindle apps have also let me leave physical books at home. I also tossed the 3 business card holders that I'd accumulated. My backpack has a pocket just for business cards. And I don't know, do we really need business cards anymore? I mean, unless you're regularly meeting with Asian businessmen, I don't know, business card exchanges are just getting rarer and rarer. So I think I'm traveling lighter, but I don't know, it might be a push. I mean, what I've dropped in paper, I think perhaps I've made up in device chargers. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 87. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast and hope you decide to stay subscribed. The bridge music for this episode is from Music Alley, which is, I guess, the renamed music.podshow.com site. Anyhow, Shine by Hungry Lucy, Beggar's Town by Hollow Horse. I like that song. And Love Survives by Love Spirals. Check the show notes for links. So if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, moans and groans, cries of the traveler, send them along, text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or to MPcock on Twitter, or write them on the Travel Commons wall on Facebook, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to send in emails, tweets, post comments on the website, or send in audio files. Thank you all very much. And until we talk again, take care. Travel safe. Thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.
On the road, life is hell. Strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind. The warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying and